Get back, get a chip. Let's build. We want to talk about skills. I spit like a semi-automatic to the grill.
Coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, it is for the children. We'll have Radioactive Shrimp. We'll roll to the state of Texas. Maybe I grew up in the wrong state or went to college in the wrong state. There's a lot of those college courses I'd be interested in being offered in the state of Texas. Plus, we'll have web gems. Cam Newton, we're a heavy Auburn show today. Cam Newton has some really funny stuff we'll get to at web gems concerning BYU's quarterback. So a lot to get to there. But CBS Sports put out one of those articles that has kind of our expert picks of 2025, overrated, underrated, order of finish, bold predictions, etc. And it's one of those things where it's multiple reporters kind of have their little blurbs and say things. But when going through this, the most overrated and underrated teams, I found it fascinating on both lists are Illinois, Indiana, Nebraska, and USC. Four schools right there in the middle. I mean, I would say Illinois, Indiana are slightly ahead of USC, but USC could catapult depending on how good they are this year. Nebraska is kind of a little bit of a wild card in there for me as an overrated, underrated.
It's Dylan Raiola and just like what level he can get to, and then where Matt Rhule, where he's taking the program. Like, I think it was Josh Pate was talking about their win total. I think they have one of the easiest schedules in the country, if I remember right. And I think their win total was 6.5.
Who's this?
Nebraska.
Okay.
And he was like, this is like, by all the metrics and all the analytics, one of the best value buys if you're betting in college football, because their schedule is, they basically avoid everything as far as like the most punitive things, like on the road especially. And sure, like they're kind of, you know, as much as Arizona State was always a sleeping giant, and it looks like maybe they finally woke up. You know, you've got money, you've got resources, you've got attractions, as it were, for athletes.
You've got history, legacy.
And you're a location that, like, you're a spot that people want to be in. And, you know, can they ever really put it together? Like, I mean, you had, you know, Terrell Suggs, you had Jake Plummer, like you've had guys, but you've never, like, with the exception of the Jake Snake years where like it was must watch, you know, Pac-10 after dark craziness every freaking week. It was always just like, it was just this house of horrors that if you were a visiting team going to Tempe, you were just like, oh God, not us this year, not us this year. And like, but they just never really put it together. But it looks like Dillingham has started to put it together. Nebraska is another one of those. Yeah, sure, the black shirt years are gone. And you know, putting the 500-mile fence around Nebraska and being like, we own this recruiting area,
right.
That's gone.
I mean, I think even that's gone in the state of Texas and the state of California. I mean, it doesn't exist anymore. Not especially not with NIL.
But Ken Rhule, with a diehard, passionate fan base, a sizable amount of money, a top quarterback recruit, can they start putting things together and moving things forward to where they're working their way into the conversation of college football blue blood? Sure.
Are you a Matt Rhule guy?
I think he's a good coach.
I think he's a good coach too. I think, you know, we always talk about blue bloods and it being good for the sport, and we do it in every sport, really. Like, you want the Lakers and the Celtics to be good. You want the Yankees and the Dodgers to be good. I want Nebraska to come back.
I think having more
good, I wish they were in the Big 12.
Yeah, I mean, that's,
I don't love the Big 10 for them. I thought that move was weird.
Yeah.
Same with Missouri to the SEC. I thought that was weird.
Yeah, well, when we get to the 40-team Super Conference, we'll just go
none
ahead
of it matters. We'll just redo. Maybe they'll be in the Big 10.
The Big 12.
The Big 12 Midwest Conference.
Yeah, that's what they'll do. But yeah, I think when you're talking about Illinois and Indiana, like, was Cignetti just lightning in a bottle coming from JMU and bringing some guys over? And like, but it's like, you know, they have, you know what, three of the top 50 players in the country, depending on like what list you look at, like whether it's Surratt, the wide receiver, D'Angelo Pons, the corner, both guys are looked at as like potential day one NFL guys. It's like, they're dudes. And Cignetti, I think, is a hell of a coach. And then at Illinois, you've got one of the only like higher level returning college quarterbacks in Luke Altmaier. Bielema's, I think, a damn good coach.
I think like, so too.
So
and he knows the Big Ten.
But there's also like the overrated part of it. Like, this, what we're talking about is what's, I think you notice with all four of these schools is there is a group of players that are proven that is returning for all those schools, but what's the ceiling for those players?
Yeah, I think what's interesting is it's Nebraska, SC are in one part of it, and Illinois and Indiana are in another part of it. And I actually think it's more than the players. I think it's about the brand a little bit.
Sure.
That Illinois and Indiana are kind of like, yeah, they're good. They've come on the scene.
They're
basketball schools. We like where their football program's mm-hmm. going, but there's not the best track record for it. So that's why I'm a little hesitant to say
100%.
To where SC and Nebraska are the opposite. Mm-hmm. Opposite side. It's like they have the track record.
Opposite.
They have the track record. They are, you know, programs with mass amount of success, mm-hmm. but haven't had it of late.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I believe you institutionally, brand-wise, but I haven't seen it on the field, to where the other side, I believe it on the field, but I don't see it institutionally. You know, if you ask me, I'm going to be a wide receiver and I can go play at Nebraska or Illinois, and this is the 40-year-old man talking, not the 18-year-old,
mm-hmm.
I'm taking Nebraska. Because I mean, I know there's a lot of factors now. I just mean in terms of brand.
Sure.
It's not even close. I'm taking Nebraska.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why they fit in both of those. Nebraska, SC, kind of like, what have you done for me lately? To where Illinois and Indiana are like, that's cute. Show me prolonged.
I think for me, it's number one, it's the coaches. It's Cignetti, it's Bielma, it's Rule, it's Lincoln Riley. I mean, that's those mm-hmm. are four coaches who I think would... People can think what they want to think about whatever coach, but I think most people would agree that those are good coaches. Better coaches in college football.
Agreed.
To your point of like Nebraska and USC, with USC, it's interesting. Like I've said it a million times already. I think they're going to win 8 games this year. I think they're going to be fine.
Fine.
Like I don't. Josh Pate is significantly higher on them. He thinks like 9 wins is like the normal line for them, and he was talking about like their modeling. They have them at their best being an 11-win team, and I'm like. Boy, that's a lot of things going right for him. But the CBS article, Tom Fornelli, like the thing he criticizes USC for is, you know, Lincoln Riley's a quarterback guru. And instead of going out in the transfer portal and maybe getting the top transfer quarterback, because if you're a quarterback and you don't want to play for Lincoln Riley, I immediately go, you're an idiot.
It's kind of weird.
You know what I mean? Like, it, you know, that's why, you know, Malachi leaving and going to Boise State, and now I don't even know where he ended up. It's like, yeah, maybe you shouldn't have done that, bud. But them sticking with Maiava, I'm like, you don't get me wrong, he had – points after taking over for Miller Moss that he was good, but you know, he also had the pick sixes against Notre Dame that completely blew the comeback, and it was like, all right, dude, sure, why not? But they've made moves defensively, and I think if you're talking about Indiana and like what they're trying to build, they had the best season in program history last year. Illinois, they're certainly trying to build off things, but what's fun about this is like there's cross matches between all these teams.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting one here is they've got Oregon also on the overrated list.
I think a lot of that has to do with just a lot of the uncertainty in the offense, you know, mm-hmm. and what that's going to look like. I don't think Oregon is overrated. I don't think they are underrated. I think they're properly rated.
I think the 10.5 win line is right.
I think it's right. I think if the offense really shines, then yeah, they win 11 games. If the offense struggles to get kind of move in like it could with a lot of unknowns.
Nine or 10 wins.
They're a 10-win team. Yeah. 9-10 win. Yeah. On that, it says, you know, Oregon's just, they're there. They're just a year away. That we might need to see Dante Moore for a full year before they can really set. Real quick to shore it up, the ones on the underrated list that I always find that I found very interesting, Iowa is always a hard out. Like, I know their offense last year was, thank God Michigan played football because it wasn't that bad, but it was still really, really bad.
But also, how many stadiums in the country do you want to go into less than Iowa at any
few.
Point in the year?
It's
few. A short list.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's Happy Valley, it's Death Valley, it's Tuscaloosa, it's the Shoe, and like that might be it.
Yeah, you're just like, I don't want to go in there because I'm going to come out of that. Even if I win, I'm not going to feel good about it. It's going to suck.
Yeah, dude. You got the cancer kids, too. What are you going to do? Hate on the kids and cancer? Yeah,
just hope they're in the window overlooking you.
Suck it, kids. Yeah, I mean, we're going to destroy you.
You know, that's
can't
what,
do that.
You know, that's what Baker's there for, right? You know,
can't do that. The other team on this list is the team, and I'm going to ask Bart, too, about them when we talk to him at noon, is UW. Jed Fish, year two.
I mean, that's what Jed Fish does. It's always
usually does.
The year two thing. The other interesting thing about this is that the three teams that are on the overrated in USC, Indiana, Illinois, that are also on the underrated, which kind of tells you like where the spark points are with those teams. Like, there's no they're the Big 12 of this group. You know what I mean? Like in the sense of like nobody has a win total lower than 5.5 in the Big 12 because everyone's like, oh
yeah. And then there's three teams at the top of the Big Ten with a 10.5, and all of those are like,
yeah, like Penn State, even the one that everybody's kind of picking to win the conference.
They should,
like,
but you're like, James Franklin?
Yeah.
Like, and Ohio State, which has maybe the best player in college football, and Ryan Day off of Natty.
You're still going,
quarterback?
And, you know, you're replacing the entire defensive line. It's so, like, again, I'm really interested to talk to Bartu about this just because it just feels like there is a real changeover.
Totally.
Particularly in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
It's also impacting the SEC, but it feels like there is a big overhaul for a lot of the Big Ten.
This might be something we're talking about even with Bartu or for another time, maybe tomorrow as we really get right into college football. If the Big Ten were to win a national championship this year.
Again. Three straight.
Would that, with all this uncertainty around the, quote, top three programs, mm-hmm. and Wisconsin having the number one toughest schedule in the nation, what that would do for the image of the Big Ten?